Hey, welcome to Mind Your Hive's Beekeeping. This is episode 2. I am your host, Greg Lehman. I'm here with my lovely wife, Kara Jo.
Hello, hello.
Thank you for tuning in to our second episode. And special shout out to everybody that was so supportive and such really awesome feedback. And people said sent us questions and just shared our posts and our social media. I can't thank you enough. I really don't want to use hashtags and I don't want to use like the BS stuff that reaches more people. So anytime people can share things,
such a silly thing, not wanting to use hashtags.
It just drives me nuts. I think they're so dumb.
Okay. Do you?
Yeah. You'll make me do it and it'll reach more people, but it just annoys me that it's such like this BS thing to me for whatever reason. I don't like it.
Okay.
So, you know, first episode, we just talked about who we are and how we got here and just kind of our journey into beekeeping and Kara Jo skincare. So I think this episode, it's really like, what are we doing right now?
Yeah.
What are we doing right now?
It's April. What's the date?
That's a good question.
I got it.
It's
April 14th.
It's Saison Day. Shout out Saison Day. And what are we doing right now? And I think with this podcast, we want to really talk about some things that we're doing in the bee yard and what we're doing beekeeping wise. But I don't know if we're going to be getting into like hardcore details about what we're doing in the bee yard, because we're doing a lot on YouTube and we're putting out videos of us actually working the bees. And I think there could be some redundancy there. So I kind of like us saying, hey, this is what we're up to. And then go check out the YouTube page and see more detailed look into what we're actually doing. And we're going to be talking while we're doing it. So I don't know. This is going to be a fluid podcast for sure. And it's going to be ever changing. But I think that's my mindset right now. So I don't know. What do you think about that?
I think it's great. I think the videos that you're putting out are great. Learning beekeeping. You know, you have this idea, but being able to watch somebody do it is a whole other ballgame. So I think that's, if you are a beekeeper, I think that's a really good resource. So what is the YouTube? It's just Mind Your Hives?
Mind Your Hives Beekeeping. Yeah, thank you. Good job.
Subscribe.
Subscribe. Like it. You know, help those algorithms out and give us that love. But all right, so what are we up to right now? What are we up to right now in the bee yard, Kara?
What are we up to? We are up to swarm control is what we're up to.
Yeah, so in beekeeping, when spring hits and you get warm weather happening, the bees, they want to procreate. They want to, and they procreate by splitting their hives and taking 50, 60% of the bees and the queen and leaving. And they leave with the queen, but they create a queen cell. So they actually create, the queen lays an egg. The worker bees will solely feed that egg royal jelly. It's really interesting. The only thing that separates a bee being born and becoming a queen versus becoming a worker is that the worker bee is fed royal jelly for, I think it's like 3 days, they're fed royal jelly. And then from there on, they're fed pollen, which is referred to as bee bread.
A worker bee, yes.
A worker bee. Mm-hmm. But a queen is only fed royal jelly, and she can live up to 5-6 years, whereas a worker bee can live like 45 days. She's born with different organs so she can lay eggs and all the things associated biology-wise. It's so fascinating, but the only difference is that royal jelly. So they'll leave eggs, feed those eggs royal jelly, and then they'll bounce. So right now, beekeepers, we're going into hives and just looking for these swarm cells that you find.
Or preventing swarm cells from happening.
Yeah,
where we're at. I feel like I'm going into it with a whole new attitude of really, I think.
Prevention.
Yeah. Yeah. Controlling the beehive in a manner where they don't want to swarm.
Yeah.
Or, yep. Is that even possible? I'm real curious what we're going to happen.
Well, you give them all the tools, so to speak, and you give them the space, you give them the resources, you do some hive configurations to make them most comfortable staying.
And then nature is going to do what nature is going to do.
Yeah. So, but right now we're, this time last year, it was, we were balls deep in swarms. They were everywhere. Everybody's hives were swarming.
It was fun.
It was fun, but it was crazy.
Yeah. Because I wasn't teaching. So, I mean, teaching, but not, I mean, was anybody?
Well, we were able to respond a little easier.
Teaching last April? I'm not sure.
you were teaching. I could hear you teaching, but you weren't, it wasn't like live classrooms. You were right. Submitting work for the students the morning of.
Yeah.
So at, 1 o'clock we could get a swarm call and you were like, let's do it. And it was like, oh my gosh.
And my assignments were go on a nature walk and then write about it and take pictures and submit it. So that's what I was doing myself.
So we're doing swarm prevention. We made one split. We have nine hives. We split one of them that was just booming. The genetics of that hive, it's a really prominent beekeeper in Vermont on the Vermont-Canada border by the name of Michael Palmer. It is one of his queens or the offspring of one of his queens, which I think is really, really interesting. And shout out to Montgomery County Beekeepers Association, the queen cell program where we're bringing in genetics that we want to see in our county. And we're giving swarm cells out and,
not swarm cells
or excuse me, queen cells.
Queen cells. Yeah.
And you'll definitely see that on YouTube later on this year. We'll install queen cells and we'll talk all about that and mating nukes.
There will be no shortage of queen cell installations.
Yeah, I hope. Yeah. Let's hope.
I think one thing that when I was thinking about swarms, one thing that, it's simple, it's obvious, but when you really think about the seasons, beekeeping has a lot to do with the seasons and the weather and not necessarily the calendar year, but like what's going on around. And the flow happens like...
So what is the flow?
The flow is the nectar flow.
Nectar. When there's trees and when the plants are opening up and letting bees take the nectar. When it's dry, we call it the dearth. And that's when the plants are holding on to their nectar. They're not giving it up. They themselves are like, I don't have a ton of resources. We don't have a ton of water.
Or so there's not even flowers to give nectar. Yeah. They're not even blooming at that time. So just understanding the flow season, like late April, I guess, May, June... is really the time, and just understanding like the start of beekeeping season is really the start of swarm control. Oh, adding boxes, making splits, but you have to wait until there's drones that can impregnate the queen so that...
So yeah, you have to spend your winter getting your equipment together, making sure, your T's are crossed, your I's are dotted, you got everything in line, because once that swarm season kicks in, you're not going to have time to do all that other stuff. So I'm really happy we've got boxes.
Yeah, you did a great job. I mean, that's all you.
So yeah, I'm excited just to bring it on. I can't wait to catch.
And one of our hives, we've already added, are there three supers on it already?
Two supers. Two. Yeah, there's two.
Just keep adding.
Five boxes. So two boxes on a couple of our hives that are solely meant for honey. They're referred to as honey supers. And that's just because those hives came out of winter. So
booming. One thing I like, one of our teachers talks about, when you see the dandelions booming, it's like a big yellow warning flag. Add a box, add a super. That's the time. Let it be your reminder. And I think that's just a good, you really have to be in tune with the plants and all of that stuff. And I think that's just a good tip.
Oh, and I love that it's gotten us involved with so much more knowledge on plants and native plants and the seasons and what blooms in the season and what we can plant to try to get plants blooming, late in the summer or in July, August, September, when the bees need it most. So really interesting what's going on with swarms right now and just watching our hives just taking off.
Yeah.
I love it. So the other thing we really want to talk about is apitherapy. I used to think of it, when somebody said apitherapy to me, I thought they were specifically talking about bee venom therapy.
Well, let's talk about what apitherapy is, because I had this conversation with my friend the other day, and... What is APA? APA is the Latin
So honeybees are Apis mellifera, I believe.
Yeah.
Mellifera?
Mellifera, I think it is.
I'm the guy that says Pythagorean theorem instead of Pythagorean theorem. You know, I'm always going to say words wrong, but Apis is, you know, Latin for honeybee. So apitherapy, really, honeybee therapy. And it is specific to honeybees. I mean, there are plenty of other stinging insects and even plenty of other bees that can provide a little bit of medicinal purpose, but nothing like a honeybee. You know, the venom of a yellow jacket can help you in some ways, but man, talk about the differences medically that honeybee venom versus wasp venom. It's night and day.
So Apis is Latin for bee and mellifera is Latin for honey bearing.
There you go.
Your little lesson.
So apitherapy encompasses a lot more than just bee venom. It is straight up honey. Eating honey is apitherapy. The health benefits that are associated with honey. Honey for allergies. There's propolis. Propolis is essentially like resin from plants that bees bring in and form. And they use it to seal their hives. And they use it to mummify, you know, say a mouse gets in their hive, they'll kill that mouse by stinging it. And then they don't want it to rot. So they will coat it in propolis and it mummifies it. So it doesn't, you know, mess up the hive.
Or they'll wall it off.
Yeah. But it has a ton of medicinal purposes. We'll talk about in a minute. Pollen, ingesting pollen. Just, we all have heard about eating pollen helps allergies. Pollen itself is just a crazy nutritious, I think you can easily argue it's the most nutritious thing we could eat.
Hmm.
Beeswax has so many purposes, so many antibacterial purposes. Using beeswax in products, Kara uses them in Kara Jo skincare when she's making products, and it's definitely medicinally helping as well. And then last but not least, bee venom, which I just started treating myself.
Yeah, you're so geeked out on it.
I'm totally geeked out on
it. It's great. It's awesome.
We'll save that for last because I think we're going to talk a lot about bee venom therapy. So, all right, let's just go through them a little bit.
Let's start with honey.
So this, by the way, was this whole topic was brought on by our buddy Steve. Shout out Mog, where he shot me a text. All right, hey, what else comes from bees? Like, what other product? What else besides honey? I'd love to hear about that. Which
he's
got me
so
on
excited
this tangent.
You just mentioned him. He was him. Also the person that I was talking to about APA.
He might be our only. He might really be our only listener. But all right, so honey, Kara, I think I got to hand off honey to you because you were the one that got me into honey. You use it in Kara Jo products.
Yeah, honey's awesome. I mean, honey is. I mean, if you even just want to talk about honey as, we'll just start off as skincare, right? So honey was the first thing that fought my acne on a powerful level. It's antibacterial, it's antifungal, it's antiviral, it's antioxidant. There's a lot of high in antioxidants, which prevents the damage of cells. And also what's great about honey is while it's... Our dog is shaking all over the place.
Yeah,
doing a little dance.
Take that collar off.
While it's being antibacterial on the skin, like a lot of skincare products and acne products dry out the skin. And honey doesn't do that. So it's fighting this acne. It's fighting the bacteria that causes acne. But it's a humectant. Like glycerin is a humectant. It draws moisture to the skin so it can clean the skin without over drying it and actually hydrates it.
So that always reminded me of, I remember getting addicted to chapstick and using, having chapped lips in the winter and using chapstick. And then once you start using it, you cannot stop using it. And that's because your skin, your lips start going, well, we don't need to do our job. Because this dude is slapping this stuff on, so they stop producing their own whatever, oils. So I remember when you were telling me about honey being a humectant.
Humectant, yeah.
Humectant, it was like, wow, so it won't do that to your skin. It's going to draw moisture up
yeah.
and allow your skin to you know, do what it's supposed to be doing, just kind of aid in the process.
Yeah. So it's really powerful in skincare. It was my in, if you listened to last time, it was my in into skincare. So what honey is the bees go to the flower, they suck up the nectar. And then when they come back to the hive, there's other bees in the hive that meet them. And you can actually see this happen in the hive, and they stick out their tongues, which are kind of like, they're not really tongues. They're like straw. They're like two pieces, and they're like
it's
straws.
It's like if you cut a straw in half lengthwise.
Yeah.
When they want to use it as a straw, they close those two halves together.
They're so amazing.
And they suck it up.
Yeah.
What's the actual name of them?
Oh, man,
it's going to drive me nuts.
I mean, I can Google it really quick, but
no, keep going.
So there's a bee that meets it, and they exchange the nectar. So one bee gives the nectar to the other bee, and then they're essentially regurgitating it. They hold it while they're flying. They hold it in their honey stomach, and then they pass it to this other bee. And then the bee, I don't know, does that bee put it? I guess she puts it in her honey stomach then and mixes it with all the enzymes like the whole time.
Yep. So it's getting some of her. I'm not sure if it goes in her honey stomach or if she's just where she's saving it, but she's giving it her own little,
yeah,
her own juices.
Yeah. And then they store it away. So there's lots of enzymes.
And when they're doing that, sorry to interrupt, no, which I do all the whatever. Time, I'm sure. But when they do that, it's allowing that healthy bacteria that's in their stomachs and in their mouths, for lack of a better word, it's going to allow that honey to actually ferment. So honey is actually nectar is fermenting before it becomes honey, which I always think it's interesting that honey is actually a fermented product.
And then they dehydrate it. So it's like 80% nectar and no.
80% moisture, 80% water. So when the nectar comes in, it's high moisture content.
But I'm saying when it becomes honey and they
comes
cap
honey, it's
it.
18% moisture level is right at the point where they will say, okay, it's now officially honey.
And it won't go bad.
And they cap it off. And when it reduces in moisture, it raises its acidity level or raises its, I guess it lowers its pH technically, which makes it shelf stable forever. Honey does not go bad. I say this so many times. They found honey in King Tut's tomb. It was still good.
I was going to say, tell me about King Tut.
So apitherapy using honey dates back at least 6,000 years.
Oh, yeah. I got all kinds of stuff on
that. Oh, cool. Go for it.
So,
research.
Yeah. So, okay. So honey's a simple sugar, right? It's not a complex sugar like artificial honey or artificial sugars or like processed sugars. So that means that your body breaks it down more easily. And it also, they did all this research on honey versus sugar usage, and eating honey, because your body can break it down and it's a simple sugar, there's less spikes in your blood sugar levels when you eat honey. And they even found, and they're doing more research, this research comes from the Journal of Food Medicine, that it may even increase insulin. So I'm no doctor, but they're talking about, like, you know, people with diabetes obviously have to be really careful about their blood glucose levels.
Need to carry around some honey sticks.
Yeah. And so it's just your body, you know, like I'm really sensitive to sugar. Like people can be really sensitive to sugar, can kind of make them sick, but that's just a good way to add sugar to your diet without having to add sugar. But it also, you know, it has these enzymes. It has low nutritional value, but it's a good source of energy. Like if you need a lot of energy, it has actually a little bit more caloric intake or caloric value than just sugar alone.
Okay, so when you're saying low nutritional value, if you want to really break that down, it's that if you tried to just live on honey, it wouldn't work, right? It doesn't have enough nutrition in it. However, honey is that simple sugar is able to feed a lot of things in your body to have them work better, right? So it's interesting because honey is also antibacterial.
It's antibacterial, it's antifungal, it's antiviral.
Yeah, but it chooses which bacteria it wants to kill.
eat?
Yeah. I don't know. Or yeah. So it especially, and you're going to notice this, we're going to say this multiple times with propolis and with bee venom and, pathogenic bacteria is particularly what honey and these other products in apitherapy fight. Pathogenic bacteria is disease causing bacteria. So our whole body is full of bacteria. I mean, there's some stat, there's like 25 pounds of bacteria in your body or something on average. I just made that number up, but it's like way bigger number than I want to think about. And you always think bacteria, you think bad, you think gross, but no, bacteria has literally is a part of our DNA. Bacteria is involved with all digestive systems and all immune fights. Like bacteria is functioning our bodies. Like I joke sometimes that we are being controlled by bacteria. It's like bacteria is like, we're the video game and the bacteria is playing us. That's how active bacteria is in our body. And honey and these other products actually aid the good bacteria and fight the bad bacteria.
Yeah.
So cool.
Yeah. So that's why I make a honey scrub out of it for the face, a honey mask, like really deep clean. Do you want a good cut out fight blackheads, honey masks?
Yeah, you have that honey 2-in-1. It's honey, yeah. Lemon, turmeric, and those are like, yeah, the big dogs.
I mean,
dogs.
And that's like ancient. That was nothing I came up with.
I love on the website, carajoskincare.com, you have like your little story, and in it you said, what is it, Cleopatra?
Yeah.
And how she bathed in milk and honey.
Yeah. I mean, women, everybody, people have been using this forever. So yeah, honey, and it tastes good. And I just started putting it in my coffee.
Ooh, baby. Shout out Nick Pitcavage, Nikki, the Pitcavage family. They're, yeah, the ones that were like, dude, we use this in our coffee.
Like, and I don't really put sweeteners in my coffee. I was like, yeah, I don't know. But it takes out the bite of coffee sometimes.
It does. It's a different kind of sweet. It's not nearly like sugar. I don't like sugar in coffee either.
Never. And like cream, like sweet creamers I don't like, but it like smooths out the coffee. If you guys like coffee and you have honey on your hands, I would just try it. It's good.
And most good honey, you always want to make sure honey is raw. I tell people just don't buy the plastic bears. I mean, I don't want you buying bear plastic containers of honey anyway, because I just can't stand single use plastics. But the bear honey, the supermarket honey, it's not good.
Well, it's not real honey. It's sugar syrup that they feed the
good
bees.
Chance that it's made of corn syrup. It has additives. We could have a whole podcast based around,
and we probably will
based on just the false honey out there and what's going on to protect us and to try to fight against it, specifically overseas honey coming in. So local honey is great, raw honey, but honey needs to be raw.
Which means it's not pasteurized, it's not heated up.
Yes, which it doesn't need to be because it lasts forever. So you don't need to heat it up. Honey will go, it will crystallize. It will get hard, and it's called crystallization. That is good. If your honey does not crystallize, there's a problem. It's not raw. If it does crystallize and you don't want to scoop it out and, you know, you want it to be a little more pourable, you just need to put it in some like 100-degree water for, depending on the size, a few hours, maybe overnight. We have a little decrystallized chamber that I made. It's basically a box that heats to 100 degrees, and has a little thermostat. It's heated with just a light bulb, which I think is pretty cool. And we will put a 5-gallon bucket in that and it'll decrystallize in about 24 hours, which is pretty cool. Every time you do it, the honey breaks down just a little tiny bit. But it's not too bad at all, especially when you keep it at 100 or 95 to 100. Once you get a little bit higher, it's going to break down more. And you certainly don't ever want to go over like 110. That's when I start saying it's not raw anymore. It starts, you know, getting closer to that pasteurized honey.
And it's killing all of the things I just talked about.
Yeah. And there's most likely, if it's raw honey, there's pollen in it. And pollen is wonderful and awesome. So you want to roll in,
a segue into pollen? Yeah. Yes.
I was afraid you got more on honey, and I didn't want to.
No,
stop.
No, that's it. Okay, so pollen, pollen is an amino acid, and so bees need amino acids, and they need a variety of amino acids, just like humans. So what the heck is an amino acid? Good question. I had to look it up too.
I appreciate this because there's so many times like, yeah, it's got all the amino acids.
And I'm like, yeah, what does that mean? Sounds good. But I like, and this is just my, I mean, I was thinking about like asking some of my science teacher friends about this, but okay, so it's not too complicated. So amino acids are the building blocks for proteins that run functions of the body. They're the life-sustaining processes that happen in our body. So, I mean, if you even just think about all the things that are happening in our bodies every moment that we're not even aware of, and all of these cells and all of these processes that are happening that are keeping us alive, amino acids are a big part of that. So there's 20 amino acids.
I'm having flashbacks right now to like third grade science class.
But you're liking this more.
And I'm really hoping we can talk about some mighty mitochondria soon, because I think it was the same lesson.
It's the only thing anybody remembers.
Do you remember what mighty mitochondria?
It's the powerhouse of the cell.
The powerhouse of the cell. It's so good.
So there's 20 amino acids, and our body can produce what? Let me do some quick math. Don't worry about it. 12? There's 9. Is that 11? Don't ask. Okay.
Well, I don't, you're just saying numbers right now.
Okay, whatever. There's 20 amino acids that are that exist, okay? And our body can produce and make most of those amino acids.
But and that's the 11?
Yeah, is it 11?
I think it might be 11. Our bodies can produce 11 of the 20 amino acids.
Yes.
Where do you find the other 9?
Good question. In food. In food. So you can find them. So if we talk about bees, right? Bees also need a complex source of amino acids in their pollen. So they need a variety of plants that provide all like a full set of amino acids.
So interesting, because with honey, going back to honey, I don't like when I see orange blossom honey or insert
blueberry.
Orange. So insert monoculture and say this is only this type of honey. But what that means is that you have a field of blueberries or a field of orange trees that is 2-3 miles in radius, where and you have beehives in the center of them, and those bees can't leave that area. So they're on a monoculture diet themselves.
And the bees can't leave that area because bees don't fly further than a 2-3 mile radius.
Exactly. Yes, exactly. So although it's kind of cool, you have orange blossom honey and has like these little hints of orange and citrus in it. And that is really wonderful on the tongue. I go a little deeper and I'm like, that sucks because those bees need more than that.
Yes.
And there's people that will bring their bees into the orange blossom in the orange fields and in the almond fields, blah, 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 for like 2-week time period when they're blooming, and then they'll take their bees and move them out. And I totally get that too. I am not a fan of monoculture. I think it's bad for way more than just honeybees.
Yeah. There's no biodiversity.
Yeah.
Also, honeybees need pollen. They feed it to their young, right? It's the first source of protein that they feed to the larva. And queen bees and drone bees both need amino acids for reproduction and to have like healthy reproductive systems. So if they don't have this complete diet of amino acids, then they can't use any of them. So it needs to be a complete set of amino acids or it's all a wash.
Wow.
So for us, we also need amino acids. So the way that you can get these 9 essential amino acids that our body doesn't make, there's complete, I've heard of this before, like complete proteins, right? You've heard of that before. That means that they contain by themselves all 9 amino acids that your body can't make, which are called essential amino acids.
And I have a feeling those are some of like the healthy meats that people talk about, right?
Yeah.
Certain types of fish.
Yeah. It's meat, fish, or meat, seafood, poultry, dairy, eggs.
Now, is there specific types of meat, specific types of seafood?
I didn't look that deeply into it. Because my first thought is, okay, well, what about people that don't eat that? So what are they going to do? Because I don't love eating all of those things.
Yeah.
Sometimes I feel like I need to. And it's interesting, which I'll talk about that in a second, is if you don't eat those things, maybe you're a vegetarian, maybe you're a vegan. My question was, can you piecemeal these 9 amino acids, essential amino acids, together? And you can, but you have to do it through like these incomplete proteins. So through beans, nuts, seeds, whole grains, veggies, but it's really important that you get these 9 essential amino acids. It helps you sleep better. It helps with muscle recovery and preventing muscle loss.
And I think vegetarians now versus vegetarians even 5 or 10 years ago are so much more educated on what they need to be eating. However, I think we all know vegetarians that eat shitty. I mean, when she became a vegetarian, she told me she ate French fries all the time.
Yeah, she did. Well, she was like a beer rep and she couldn't have access to a lot of good food.
It felt bad, but she upped her game and she made herself food. And I mean,
well, it's interesting this because I stopped eating meat for a good amount of time. And I really was having a lot of body pain. And you were, dry aging some piece of steak for 60 days and totally geeking out about it.
Yeah, that's right.
And so,
what's up? Shout out Steve, my man. We do some dry aging.
So they did this. It was like this big process. They had like a party, just the two of them and me, like with this meat.
There was other people there.
I don't think so.
Frankie.
And so I was like, sure. I literally had two. It was the first meat I'd eaten in like a long time. I woke up the next morning. My body felt better than it had felt in so long. And it really comes down, I think it comes down to these amino acids.
Well, I remember looking into it a little bit more after you said that. And I had heard a different podcast and they had a vegetarian or a vegan person kind of debating a carnivore. And the one thing that the vegan vegetarian person couldn't really argue against was muscle recovery and injury recovery. And I'd be curious to look even more into it, but like this, I mean, these were two quote unquote experts going at it. And it was kind of like the mic drop where they said they still have not found what exactly is in, and I think it was specifically the red meat, that aids in muscle recovery that they haven't been able to find in anything else.
Is it amino acids? Did I just...
You just cracked the code.
I cracked it. Call me. I'll tell you about it.
I think it might be a little deeper than just like what specific amino acids it is. But I thought that was really interesting. And then you ate like 1 ounce, 2 ounces max.
Little. I don't even know how much that is. But
and the next day you were like, oh my God, the back pain that I've had.
The muscle pain. It was muscle pain. So bees need that just like we need that. That's why it's important to, that's why dandelions, everyone's like, save the bees, leave the dandelions. It's because dandelions are one of the first pollen sources, which allow, and right now, like we said, with swarms, they're making babies. There's new queens coming out. They need to be able to get mated. The drones need to be strong to get mated. So that's why dandelions and pollen are so important. And then pollen does have one other thing. Lipids.
What's a lipid?
Okay.
Another term that I've heard, but I don't know what it means.
Yeah. And lipids really important for your skin too. And it's just basically like very superficial idea of it is it's another building block for your cells. And it has a big part in the cell wall. And that's why it's important for skin, right? Because your skin cells and you want strong skin cell walls. So that's pollen. It gives us amino acids.
So going back to pollen, it can have all depending on the plant.
Well, you need a variety.
If you have a variety of pollen, you will get all the remaining amino acids that our bodies cannot produce.
Yes.
So that's a big deal.
Yeah. And you know who has really, if you guys are interested in buying pollen, Swarm Bustin' Honey.
Our man Walt.
Oh, man.
Call him my spirit elder.
I think their website is 911honey.com.
It is 911honey.com.
They're awesome.
They're in Chester County, Pennsylvania. Family run organization. They sell honey. They sell beeswax. They sell pollen. And they
have good prices. The prices are good.
They really are. And I've had friends that say, hey, I got super bad allergies this time of year. And I go, call Swarm Bustin. Call them up and tell them. And they will give you a suggestion. And I think they give kind of two options. They say either start with like one pellet and work your way up to a tablespoon of pellets.
Like one pellet every day. Add one.
Yeah. Add another one. One, two, four. Work your way up to like 200. That would make up a tablespoon. Or start out with a tablespoon and just overload your body, and you're going to have a day or two of super watery eyes and whatever allergy symptoms you have, but then you might break through.
People say it works.
And people, they go back to it. So we collect pollen. We actually didn't last year because we collected so much the year before, but we collect pollen. We try to put a pollen trap on one hive for like 2 days a month, which gives us enough pollen to fill up like a 4 ounce jar. We put it in the freezer and we mark it by the month, and then that's what I will use. So if I'm going to put pollen in something right now, I'm going to make sure that I'm putting I think May is the first one we have. I'm going to put May pollen in my drink and just take a spoonful of it. The May pollen's like, it's interesting. They have different flavors.
I was just going to say that. And different color, like it's all different colors. It's a little bit, just like honey, it's a little bit sweeter.
Yeah, a little earthier.
It's got an earthy kind of tone. I'm not like
sized with how it tastes.
I love pollen. Yeah, I'll make a piece of toast and I'll put peanut butter on it and then I'll drizzle honey on it and then I'll put pollen all over it.
So many amino acids.
Ah, so good. Maybe I love lipids. And it just makes me feel good. I'm like, I am eating so good right now.
So pollen. Very, very good for you. I mean, certainly helps with allergies. You're literally ingesting, you know, the same substance that's going into your nasal passages and causing you to have allergic reactions.
Yeah, it's like a vaccine, but not, right? But
yeah,
it's kind of like the same thing.
Yeah, so I don't know.
That's for our intent.
Probably not the right way of putting it. But either way, I think we all kind of know about pollen, but like it's even better than we realize for sure.
Let's talk about propolis.
We talked about propolis a little bit. Let's talk about propolis more. So propolis is that tree resin, basically, or a plant resin that the bees bring back in. They use it to fill cracks. They use it. It's all over the hive. And some bees just genetically are better with propolis. Maybe they're more hygienic overall, and that's why. Maybe they're just like real into propolis. Who knows? But some hives will open the hive and go like, ooh, this is a propolis hive. These girls love making propolis. So when we pull a frame, you just scrape it off. It's in the way. You scrape it off all the time. And we'll collect it. And over the course of a season, we'll have like a handful size ball. And then we freeze that. I grate it. And then we infuse it, or we extract, what is it called? You're better at this. We make a tincture using high proof alcohol. So grain alcohol, and it extracts all the goodness. And then we have like little 1 ounce jars of propolis. And what do we use it for? Okay. A lot.
So it's not just plant resin. It's a mixture of this propolis is interesting because plant resin. So like, I was like, what is even plant resin? So plant resin is trees and plants use it for healing. So if they have a cut, a scrape, they also use it to protect themselves against like insects.
It's like sap. That's what sap, when you cut a tree or cut a plant and it oozes sap.
It's protecting itself.
That is it. The first start to hardening off and fixing that.
Yes. Wow, which cool. I find it really interesting that the trees and the plants use it as wound healing. And that's what humans use it as.
I mean, genetically, how really different are we than anything?
Right. And it's the same thing. Like, we're using honey the same way for energy, you know, all of it to keep us healthy, pollen the same way. So propolis is plant resin mixed with enzymes, right? Cause they're, everything is kind of mixed with their enzymes, wax and pollen. And then it has these awesome properties. It's antifungal, which also keeps, so in nature, bees live in trees and they will coat the inside of the tree with propolis. So they do that. They don't necessarily coat the inside of their hive with propolis unless it's like certain conditions, but they will seal in between the boxes. And like Greg said, like,
but beekeepers out cracks. There, studies have shown if you rough up the inside of your hive boxes, they will make more propolis and those bees will be healthier.
Because it mimics a tray.
Yes. Yeah. So if you have a really smooth surface on the inside, they don't worry about it. But if you rough it up a little bit, they're going to propolize and that's good. So there's a lot of studies on that now. It's a pretty popular topic. And a few people have done some really, really awesome research on it.
So propolis is antifungal. It's antimicrobial, so it's keeping the hive really clean. For people, it's anti-inflammatory. I mean, I don't even know if bees, it might be anti-inflammatory. And it actually can speed up cell growth. So it's wound healing. Like there's a lot of herbs that can speed up cell growth. Yeah, it does that, which is pretty awesome. This was kind of crazy is what I found is, okay, so propolis is really good for the mouth. People always like this propolis tincture. By the way, if you are interested in a propolis tincture after this talk, you can hit us up. We got some.
Yeah, we might have like 10, you know, we don't even put it on our website. It's we don't just have that much of it.
Yeah.
It's kind of like a friends and family thing, but yeah, if you're interested, you know, shoot us a message. We'll get it to you.
Yeah. So, okay. So it's like canker sores, cuts in the mouth, anything like that.
And your mouth is like a breeding ground for shitty bacteria. Oh, I cursed.
It's already, just certain words. That one's fine. okay. So herpes, cold sores, they found, I thought this was really interesting. The topical applications. So it's the research was, it was in 2016. The research was topical applications versus no treatment. And it reduced the amount of herpes. So a topical application on a cold sore reduced the viral count in the body. I don't even know how that works.
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
Isn't that nuts?
Enters your bloodstream and goes to work, I guess, right?
I guess. So you can use this tincture. We just take like tincture shots. I like put a bunch of tinctures in it.
So anybody out there with herpes, just send us a message.
Yeah, tell us about your herpes.
Tell us about your herpes. maybe how you got it.
Send us pictures.
Don't send us pictures. That sounds terrible. But you know, just let us know and then we'll hook you up with some
propolis.
We'll
help you. We can help. We just take propolis shots. You can put it in your coffee. You can put it in your tea. I saw you can put it in oatmeal because oatmeal is so bland anyway. You can put it in your shakes. It actually tastes delicious.
It's the best smelling and I love the taste.
It's so good because it tastes like kind of like beeswax.
Yeah, totally. When you open, the first time I opened a hive up, once it had bees and they'd been in there for a little bit, I remember just loving the smell. Like I just put my head in and just, and it's what, and that smell is propolis. I mean, beeswax is awesome.
Yeah.
But the propolis, man. Oh, and even right now we're putting swarm traps up all over the place. And I drip propolis in the swarm trap. It attracts bees to it. And having those swarm traps in the car and I've dripped all that propolis in and I'm just loving the smell of the car. I think we can corner the market. We need a propolis air freshener. Screw these stupid pine sol ones that people hang from their rearview mirrors. Let's get a propolis one.
All right.
$1 million idea. We should edit this out.
Don't steal it.
To the moon.
Okay, so you can take this propolis tincture and you can make throat sprays out of it. That's like another thing that you can do if you want to like make it into something.
Actually mix it with a little honey and a little water.
Yeah, and you put it in a spray bottle and a pet. We've never done it. I mean, I'm sure we'll do it if anybody has a sore throat. I love that doing that stuff. But yeah, that's another way. So propolis has actually been talked about through history. Aristotle wrote about propolis, and it's believed that he was the one that coined the term propolis.
I think there's an argument whether it was Aristotle or whether it was Pliny the Elder.
Yes.
Which Pliny the Elder is a very, very popular beer.
Yes.
And he is the person that also named,
I don't know,
hops.
Did he?
I think he might have been the person that named hops Humulus lupulus, which basically means dirt animal, dirt wolf, because they grow so aggressively. But Pliny the Elder is connected with beer. And then all of a sudden I find out that he's also connected with propolis. And I'm like, this is my dude.
Okay, so Aristotle lived from 384 to 322 BC. And Pliny the Elder lived from 23 to 79 AD. So it's got to be Aristotle.
I mean, again, we can fight over this if you want. Okay. I'm saying it's Pliny the Elder.
All right, you can. But I mean, history tells us a different story. Yeah, but
Although, wait, you just said AD.
Yeah, BC.
Oh, BC.
Aristotle was in BC.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
Yeah.
Stupid.
So it's interesting that you said Pliny the Elder, because I'm sure most people know Pliny the Elder from beer.
I don't think most people, but
okay. Well, in my brain, for sure. Yeah, beer people. Well, that's my people, I guess. but Pliny the Elder, if you don't know, was a Roman naturalist and an author, and he wrote about propolis. The ancient Egyptians used it to embalm cadavers.
That makes perfect sense.
Just like honeybees.
Yep.
And ancient Jews called propolis tzori, T-Z-O-R-I. And they wrote about the medicinal properties of propolis. And then modern research has backed all this up.
I love finding out, and Kara's a yoga instructor. We practice kind of Ayurvedic medicine in our lives, Ayurveda. And I just absolutely love when you find out something that was going down 6,000 years ago. I mean, you talk about Ayurveda and yoga, you can go like way further back than that. I mean, to the point where people, some historians will say that like there wasn't humans on Earth, and other ones are like, you're full of shit. but I love when you find out something that was going down thousands and thousands of years ago, and then modern science goes, huh, they were right.
Yeah.
This is happening.
Yeah.
That's pretty interesting. And you're like, yeah, they had their stuff together.
I mean, there's so many solutions to so many of our problems, like in nature, and the honeybees and apitherapy is one of them.
Yes.
Yeah. It's a huge proponent of.
So we absolutely love propolis. We put it in a little shot along with a couple other
all the other gross tasting tinctures. Yeah. And I'm like, oh, a little bit of propolis.
And I also love it, like it clouds up the water. It makes this like cool cloudiness. It just looks cool.
Yeah.
I dig it.
Yeah, it's good. Tastes good.
Beeswax. So beeswax, another part of apitherapy. Beeswax, super antibacterial. Shout out Cara Jo Skincare beeswax wraps. We wrap our food products in them.
Yeah. Deodorant. I put it in deodorant. Yeah. I have like a really awesome hand salve.
Lip balm.
And the hand salve it has healing properties. A big part of the healing properties have to do with the beeswax. I make dog salve, lip balm. I think that might be it. There's on carajoskincare.com, there's a bee product
page.
Yeah.
That says like what we use our apiary for and what's in what product.
Yeah, what you can buy that we use apiary products for.
Beeswax rocks.
And beeswax is also a humectant that draws moisture in.
And then I just used beeswax. We had like some lawn chairs that just kept getting stuck. They were annoying to open, and there was friction at one of the joints, and I just rubbed a little beeswax on it. And whammy, the thing opens like boom and closes so easily now. It's like, oh, why didn't I do that like 6 months ago? I've been fighting with these things. But just like, oh, I'll rub some beeswax on there, see if it works. So awesome.
Yeah, beeswax is great.
Yeah, beeswax rocks.
And now your favorite
topic. I know, I'm so giddy. Bee venom therapy, and I just put a little bit on Instagram. I shot myself up about an hour before this podcast. Literally meaning I grabbed some bees and had them sting me in my knee. But Kara and I were talking, and like beekeeping as a whole, to me, is just badass. It's just badass. It's like we house a million stinging insects that very well could kill you. And it's just, it's badass. It is. And that wears off though. And that's ego. You know, that's my ego being like, hey, I want to do something cool. And then I just fell in love with bees as a whole. And it's well beyond ego at this point. I mean, it's still a little bit, but but I think bee venom therapy is kind of the same way. Like there was this kind of like little ego boost of being like, you know what, I'm going to try this. But so I said, I did a bunch of research on it, and I'm that person that will like dive into research on something. I'm not a huge fan of just like going for something willy nilly. I love to learn all about it and then do it. So I read, I don't know, 10 hours worth of stuff on bee venom therapy and decided I wanted to do it. And I was just like, oh man, this is really cool too. And then the next day, I walked up the stairs, and my right knee that I stung did not hurt. For I'm not kidding, like totally not exaggerating, it did not hurt taking steps up the stairs for the first time since I was maybe 16.
It's amazing.
Like I just doing like a one-legged squat on this leg, it doesn't hurt right now, and it's it's hard for me to even fathom that my knee doesn't hurt. I mean, when I grew from like 5'8 to 6'3 in a year,
you were probably so awkward.
It was so awkward. Oh, man.
Oh, you're cute. I'm sure you're adorable.
Can lay off the daddy issues at therapy for a minute and talk about that. But I mean, when I had a huge growth, everything hurt. I mean, I was playing sports and I was way hard on my joints as a kid and all through college. But it was really nuts. And I was excited to do it today. I took off a few days.
You were like giddy. You're like, came home.
You know how giddy you'd be if you walked up the steps and didn't have pain for the first time in like 100 years?
Yeah.
All right. So at this point, we talk for another like 50 minutes about bee venom therapy. So Karen and I thought it made the most sense to stop this podcast, split it up, and devote a whole episode to bee venom therapy. So I'm going to edit this a little bit and try to sneak this little outro in, and then we'll do another intro and we'll do the bee venom talk. And I think I'm going to release it. We'll release that in a few days. But there's just so much more to talk about, and we don't want to have a 2 hour, hour and a 45 no minute way. Long podcast. We feel bad enough that you've all listened to us for this long.
And it really just, give it its due. It's interesting.
Yeah. I mean, we probably could have talked about honey and propolis and beeswax and everything else for way, way, way longer. And we really did a pretty brief overview, but again, with some pretty good details.
Who wants to listen to that?
Yeah. So we really hope you enjoyed listening to our second episode. Stay tuned. In a few days, we're going to release an episode entirely devoted to bee venom therapy and who knows what else. But again, thank you so much for listening this far. If you've listened this far, you are a rock star. We love you. Please, you know, help us out, share, tell your family, tell your friends, you know, send some love our way. Send us questions again. Give us some feedback. We love hearing from you. It's like just makes us feel good when you hit us up with something that you liked or something that you had a question about.
And check out carajoskincare.com. You can find out all of those honeybee products, beeswax wraps, all of the, you know, using honey and beeswax in our products. And, you know, we have honey for sale on there. And if anybody's interested,
we still have honey? I guess we
maybe do have some honey.
A couple jars left. I have
to update the inventory, actually. But yeah, we do have some honey. And we're going to have more honey. So
yeah, we'll be harvesting, knock on wood, like the first week of June. And we'll have a fresh batch of spring honey that we're excited about. We're going to save spring honey again this year. So we saved a whole bucket, 5 gallons of spring honey from 2020. And we started selling it in March and sold out pretty quickly.
For allergies.
Yeah, because it's really cool to actually let people ingest honey that is from the season that they're fighting the allergies. So if we release our spring honey in June, July, it's past its time. So we like to hold it back and sell it next year.
Same kind of thing with pollen. You eat pollen during the time, you eat honey during the time.
Yeah, so I'm really we're excited to do that again. I thought that was really cool and people really liked it.
And then if people, after listening to propolis, if they're interested in a tincture, let us know just on the side and we can get that.
This episode and all episodes are brought to you by Kara Jo Skincare
and Bee Farm.
Thank you all again. You are awesome. We really appreciate it. We're going to play you out with this little ditty. Until maybe we can get Human Group to give us our own little ditty, which Daniel Endicott, I believe, is the one that said, you guys need a theme song. So I think we're going to look to them. Shout out Dan, Mikey, Dan, and Jared. If they've listened this far, we'll find out soon. Thank you again. Let us know what you think. I'm Greg.
I'm Kara Jo.
Hey, she said Kara Jo this time. Good job. Thank you so much for listening. Cheers, y'all.